1 Samuel chapter 17 is where I want to look this evening. This is the chapter of David and Goliath, if nobody figured that when I called that out. This chapter has one of my favorite verses in it. I don't know that I can call it my favorite verse, but it's one of my favorite verses, where David, in the midst of his dilemma, cried out those wonderful words, convicting words, "Is there not a cause?" Love that verse. I'm not going to look at that verse tonight exactly. I want to go on down to verse number 52 and 53, 1 Samuel chapter 17. "And the men of Israel and of Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines until thou come to the valley and to the gates of Ekron. And the wound of the Philistines fell down by the way there and even to Gath." Shearim, is that how you pronounce that? Somebody help me. "Even unto Gath and unto Ekron. And the children of Israel returned from chasing after the Philistines, and they spoiled their tents." There's one word in that first verse that I read that sums up the attitude or the spirit that I want to draw out of these two verses, of this scenario. And that one word is the word "shouted." You see, what had taken place had brought about a great excitement among the Israel camp. There's no reason for us to wonder about it. It was a big thing. They had been there many days listening to the defiance of Goliath. And fear came on them, trying to figure out what it was going to take for them to just get away from this, without really even any thought or much thought about a win. They just wanted to get away from it. Is there any way for them to get out of this thing without dying? So when they reach this point in the story and they realize that victory was there, they shouted. "The men of Israel and of Judah arose and shouted," and from that one thing, that one instance, they found courage to pursue the enemy. Say, "Preacher, where are you going tonight?" I'm going here. Before victory, there are obstacles to overcome. I don't know what you're looking for in revival. I don't know what your goals are, your desires are in revival. We need victory. We need some specific victories. We need some special help. There's obstacles to overcome before victory comes. Now, if we go back into the earlier part of this chapter, we see that David finds himself on the scene where everybody was fearful of Goliath. Eliab, his eldest brother, was one who Samuel had looked at and thought that surely this would be the next king of Israel. King Saul himself was among those people. He was there listening to that defiant man on a daily basis as well. He stood head and shoulders above them all. Maybe he was the giant of Israel. Every one of them was afraid of that giant that stood across the valley on the other ridge. Maybe it wasn't just because of Goliath that they were afraid, but the added knowledge of his brothers being there lurking somewhere in the tents and in the hillside, maybe that added to it. But when David came on the scene and he heard the voice of Goliath for the first time, David decided there must be something that we can do. But he had to overcome some obstacles before he saw the victory. The first obstacle that you can find that he had to overcome was found in verse number 28. He had to overcome the contemptuous attitude of his brother, the conflict of his family. There's conflict in life, and there's all sorts of ways that conflict comes to keep you, to keep me from having victory. We may just think it's some kind of a problem that we have to face, but maybe what the problem is that there's an enemy of our soul that's doing what he can to create conflict to get us to step back away from the battle. It happens. David could very easily at this point been turned away and went back home satisfied with fulfilling the chore that his dad gave him to do and to be there to see and to participate in a small measure. He could have easily turned around and went back home satisfied with his circumstances. He didn't need, really, he didn't need to disturb the family relations. When you look at the detail of these circumstances, you can understand that what David was dealing with here were some accusations from a brother. From somebody. An accusation that he could have very, very, very easily taken personally. He could have very easily taken it to himself and said, well, if that's the way you feel, then I'm just done. I'm over it. I'm walking away. You can deal with it yourself then. That was a big obstacle. I have no doubt in my mind that it was a big obstacle for David to get over the circumstances that were presented to him there with his brother. Now it may come to you, it may come to me in some different way. It may not be a brother, it may not be family member, but there's some kind of conflict that can come to keep you from having victory, keep you from seeing victory in this revival meeting. And by preventing you from having the victory in this revival meeting, it very well is likely that you will also, by preventing your victory, will prevent somebody else's victory. Had David gone home? Is there enough evidence here to speculate that victory would not have come? You see, we live in a world where we, in our choices and decisions and our actions and reactions, cause a ripple effect. And it's not just me that's affected by it, but it's people that are around me. Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the man, and Eliab's anger kindled against David, and he said, why camest thou down hither? With whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride, I know the naughtiness of your heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. Well, yeah, David, I'm sure, wanted to see the battle, but when he heard what he heard, something stirred within him. He wanted victory. He had to get over, or he had to overcome the obstacle of conflict. The second thing that we notice in this passage is found further down in verse number 33. There were some doubts of inadequacy or futility in the effort. Have you ever doubted the effort? You thought that it was futile? Oh, I've been there. I could testify to you tonight about something that I'm struggling with, and maybe I already have shared it in some measure in recent days here. You know, the futility of it, the struggle of it, the battle of it, it's all there. The discouragement that comes, and you'll find it here that David goes to Saul, and Saul said to David, "You're not able to go up against this Philistine. You can't fight with him." He said, "You're too young. He's a man of war from his youth." You see, there's doubts of inadequacy. Maybe you've never experienced that tonight, but I believe that it's nearly universal. The enemy doing his best to make it appear to be that you have an inadequate spot, or you are inadequate for the responsibility, or you are inadequate to make it, or there's inadequacy problems. The futility of the effort. Maybe this is a far-fetched example, but there's a whole lot of sofa quarterbacks, Monday morning quarterbacks. If you don't know what that means, the ball game was played on Sunday, and there's a whole bunch of people that sit around on Monday and say what they did wrong and how they should have done it, and if they would have done it this way, they would have won. And well, there's just a whole bunch of Monday morning quarterbacks. Monday morning quarterbacks who can stifle and discourage growth and discourage effort. They can just throw out some kind of a small barbed word that discourages. Have you ever been there? I won't ask how many of you done that. Just ask how many of you received that. There's a good possibility that we've done it somewhere along the line too. This was the king though. But he was acting like a Monday morning quarterback because he wasn't willing to go do something himself. But he looked at the man, the young man that was willing to do something, and said, "Oh no, you can't do this." Isn't it amazing how much we give ear to them that speak discouraging words? Just a little bit of truth. Just a little bit of truth. Yeah, he was a young man. Yeah, Goliath was a man of war from his youth. Sure, there are some truthful things here, but the overall content indicated or implied that because of this truth, you can't do that. There's a lot of things that can be said based on a measure of truth. And we get a hold of that little bit of truth that is spoken, and we allow that little barb to pierce us, to prevent us from achieving or receiving or pursuing the victory that God wants us to have. The third obstacle that I see David having to face is just a little bit further. Verse number 38. Saul armed David with his armor. Does that make Saul out to be a fool? Just putting it blunt. David, you're too small, you're too young, but here, I'm going to give you my armor. I'm the biggest man in camp. I'll give you my armor. Just a thought. And he put on, and he put a helmet of brass upon his head, and also he armed him with a coat of mail. Weighted him down, fixed him up. Could we say here that the enemy threw insults, the common method wasn't suitable for David? The common or the acceptable method wasn't suitable for David. Now, I want to be careful here. You might need to go outside of the box in order to receive the victory. I'm not talking about going outside of the book. I'm still telling you, you need to stick with the book. But there's sometimes that we need to go outside of the box. David had to go outside of the box because the common method, the acceptable method, was to do it this way, even though the acceptable method didn't even come close to fitting him, they still tried to fit him with it. And he had to have the courage to say, no, Saul, this doesn't work for me. I've never proven this. I can barely move. I need to use the tools that God has trained me with. Sometimes we're going to have to step away and look at what God's wanting us to do. And rather than take on common thinking, so what are you talking about? Well, let's just look at it. Let me just briefly mention here, you know, I'm too tired to do that. Sometimes it's better to go to sleep than it is to struggle through praying all night. The flesh is willing, or the spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. Excuse me, I said that backwards, started to say that backwards. Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And I've heard it said, sometimes it's just better to go to sleep. And sometimes I've said it myself, and sometimes I've done it myself. But sometimes we need to get past the common thought, get outside the box of acceptable method, and say, no, I'm going to do it in spite of. I'm going to press forward even though the common thought would be for me to stop. The common thought would be for me to go home. The common thought would be for me to do this differently. Again, I'm not saying get out of the book. I'm not saying that God's going to give you something to do that doesn't line up with His Word. I'm not saying that. The fourth thing that I noticed that David had to overcome is found yet just a little bit further. Verse number 42. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him. For he was but a youth and ruddy, of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog? David, you insult me to the max because you're coming out here with sticks and stones, that thou comest to me with staves. And it so angered the Philistine that he cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beast of the field. Once again, I notice here that the Philistine, even though he was mad, even though he was angry, and he was offended, he still used some truthful thoughts to throw back at David. David, you're a youth. You don't even shave yet. Look at that complexion. Have you even ever popped a pimple? I don't know what all that means. Ruddy, fair complexion or countenance. Truth-laced insults. Moms and dads, the enemy's bidding high for the souls of our kids. Bidding high for the souls of our young people. Not only our young children and our teenagers, but our young adults, our young marrieds, bidding high. Just a little bit of here and a little bit of there, a little bit of obstacle, a little bit of discouragement, a little bit of pressure, a little bit of an insult. He'll do anything and everything that he can to prevent or disturb, discourage or obstruct a person from pressing forward anything and everything he can. Now, the obstacles that you encounter will probably differ from the obstacles that David encountered. But before victory will come, you will more than likely have to overcome some obstacles. There will be some troubles. The devil will do what he can to discourage and obstruct, defeat, deflate. It might not even be obvious that he's working in those areas. And you could back off of the battle, step back from the front, and miss out. You or somebody else miss out on the victory that God has in store. David said, and I'm not preaching from this verse, but David said, is there not a cause? Yes, we have a cause. Our soul, the soul of our kids, of our young people, married couples, valuable. I want to see victory. Let's overcome the obstacles that may be presented in my path, your path, that would prevent you from being able to receive the victory. Praise God. I want to close differently tonight. And I can tell you, it's strange. Is Susanna not in? She's out. Leanne, can you come to the piano? This song has nothing to do with the topic of the message. Okay? Let me just get that out there. So when I call it out and you look at it, don't be alarmed or think, where is he going? I just want to sing this song. I feel like we should sing this song. I felt it all day. Is that all right? 554.